Greg, are you there? Are you safe?
Everything's cool. One of the things I found fascinating, by the way, that we're doing media these days is Everybody's a podcaster now. Everybody has to deal with the technical difficulties I've had to deal with for the last 8 years.
You rely on your phone. You rely on your phone. You just hope it stays the whole time, and then sometimes the S hits the fan. Just to recap what you were saying, that obviously the players voted on today that, yeah, they're giving the green light to the NHL to have this 24-team playoff format. This is going to happen. It's just a matter of when, right?
Kind of. It's also a matter of figuring out the testing, figuring out where they're going to play, when they're going to play, where they're going to train, when they're going to train. There's a lot there that hasn't been settled yet. And part of the equation, as I've had a couple people in the NHLPA tell me today, is to not take this vote as gospel that they're coming back. There's still a lot to be worked out. Take this vote as what it is, which is to say that they've approved a format. If they do come back, this is what they're going to do, you know, with some tweaking that's still to come. It's a good step forward. It allows the players in the league to start talking about other things than a pandemic. It'll give the league a chance to schedule the draft and the draft lottery probably as well. So it's a positive step forward, but by no means is it the entire journey right now.
Greg, and you pointed out the most interesting part, I think, of this whole scenario is don't take this as gospel. This is just an outline for if this thing happens. So the if is if the players agree to go through with all this. Do you get a sense that there are going to be players, even on teams that have a chance to win the Stanley Cup this year, that may just say, you know what, it's not worth me coming back to risk my family getting sick?
It's certainly a possibility. And I mean, I think a lot of that sort of speaks to what's going on with the players, what's going on with their families. You know, do they have people that are in sort of risk categories that live with them, for example? There's a lot that we don't know. And I actually asked Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley a month ago about the sort of Roman Reigns situation, if you will. If you remember, he's the wrestler who ducked out of WrestleMania because he's immunocompromised. And I said, no, what if a player says, I just don't want to come back? Is there going to be any penalty from the league, any recourse in the league for this? And he's like, look, if it's a couple players saying they don't want to play, that's fine. If it's like all of them, that's kind of a problem. So the league is at least cognizant of these players potentially making decisions like this. But ultimately, we have to remember that we are dealing with a team sport. We are dealing with certain peer pressures. And we are dealing with a certain amount of pride from these individuals to try to see this thing through and potentially win a championship.
Okay, so let's say there's actually hockey. Let's say that this thing all goes through. Is there an advantage for somebody? Like, which is more true? A younger team has more of an advantage in this playoff format, or a more veteran team has an advantage in this playoff format, or are neither true?
I think neither are true only because I think it'll come down to a few factors. One, obviously, is going to be health, and most teams should be healthy as they get back. Another is going to be the training that the players have or have not been able to do during the shutdown. I've been telling people, you know, if you want to bet some money on who's going to win the cup, pick the team with the most Swedes because they've all been skating. Everybody else has been unable to. So that's a factor in it as well. And then, of course, conditioning. I mean, who's to say how these guys have been reacting to quarantine and a pandemic? I mean, we all cope in different ways. So who the heck even knows what the conditioning of these guys are going to be after several months? So there's too many X factors to really say either way what's going to happen. I will say this. One bit of news that I found out tonight before we hopped on, according to a PA source, the top four teams in this format, there's been some mystery about exactly what they're going to be doing while the other eight teams play their play-in series. I've learned that the top four teams are going to play in a round-robin tournament, and it is going to be something that could influence the seeding of those top four teams. So it won't simply just be a collection of exhibition games while the play-in series are happening. It's going to be games that will have some meaning, which is what these teams have been asking for, which is give us meaningful games to get us ready for the larger tournament. And on top of that, it seems like it may be for the top seed.
Interesting. Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN, co-host of the Puck Soup podcast, joining us here at Sportsnet tonight, George and Matt, along the Sportsnet radio network. When it comes to hub cities, that hasn't been obviously officially announced yet. It seems like Vegas is kind of locked in potentially as one of those cities. Can you hazard a guess on what the other three cities would be potentially?
I can hazard a guess that it won't be three. I heard from a source earlier this week that with them shifting to this conference format, this 12-team conference format for each conference, that it's very likely it's not going to be four cities anymore. It's very likely just going to be two sites, 12 teams at each site. And Vegas has long been speculated as being one of those cities. I mean, they've got the accommodation capacity. They've got enough things that would entice a player to want to spend a few weeks there or maybe a couple months there. And then obviously, it's also a site that could end up hosting the later rounds of the playoffs. As far as the other site goes, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of X factors going on there as far as the travel considerations with Canada and the potential quarantine. I know for a fact the NHL does like the idea of using Canadian City as a hub because of the exchange rate right now, the amount of money that they have to invest, they definitely want to be able to minimize their costs, and going to Canada right now for the league might be that play.
So, Greg, when we look at this format with the 24 teams, there's bubble teams that have a chance to, get into, the final 16, if we want to call it that. But how do those teams feel? Because, okay, maybe they would have gotten in, maybe they wouldn't have gotten in had we finished the regular season. But there's a chance that these teams may get lucky, get into the top 16, and then hurt their chances at getting a better draft pick. You know, a team like the Montreal Canadiens would be a prime example of a team that would hurt their lottery odds because they caught fire at the right time, whereas if the regular season had played out, they probably weren't going to.
I think the remedy for this will be that the fact that the league is going to change the lottery rules to only allow teams to move up a certain number of spots, that was a remedy that they had for, the idea of, like, a team could win the lottery but also potentially win the cup. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept those rules in place. But the fact of the matter is, though, I mean, and we've seen this with this bizarre consternation and fear of teams playing Montreal in the first round because of Carey Price. It is going to be such an unprecedented tournament that I have to imagine that every team thinks they've got a chance to win. And I think if you ask them, while the lottery would certainly be maybe their modus operandi a couple months ago, if you're a team that, say, sold your assets at the deadline and were hoping to, land one of the top two picks, I think the fact that you're all of a sudden a playoff team supersedes that in the sense that you might actually believe that you have a chance to win a championship.
Greg, what if a high-profile player decides, I don't think this is worth the risk, and just sticking with the Montreal theme, Max Domi is a guy who is a type 1 diabetic. He is in that high-risk underlying health issues in that if he gets this virus, he could be in trouble. Is there a scenario where you think high-profile players potentially won't play, or will hockey culture, the pressure of hockey culture, make those guys hit the ice?
I'm sure there are going to be players that are thinking twice about it, and I'm sure that at the end of the day, hockey culture might win out. But I'll do you one better. What happens if a high-profile player tests positive? I mean, that's the thing I keep on coming back to in this is, the idea that right now the only thing we've heard from the NHL with regards to a player testing positive during the tournament is, well, we'll pull him out and then put him in quarantine. Okay, that's great. What if that player is Nathan MacKinnon? What if that player is Leon Draisaitl? I mean, it is. I can't wrap my brain around the fact that you could have a scenario like that play out. And then you come back to the more uncomfortable topics surrounding a scenario like that, as in, we've seen players that aren't exactly forthright with their health considerations at times in this league. And we've also seen situations in which teams may not necessarily be that aggressive in trying to treat players that have maladies like this if they're high profile. So there's a lot of questions surrounding it, and you just hope at the end of the day that everybody does right by health and by safety.
Greg, in looking at this whole scenario and looking at where the NHL is financially and having the league shut down, they are, like every other league, they're very affected by this monetarily. But how important is it for the league to be coming back, to have some sort of a presence out there, because they really need this financially?
That's a great point. And part of the return to play stuff right now is getting it back into the conversation. I mean, it's the reason they wanted to do the draft early. They saw the hype around the NFL draft. They wanted to increase the excitement about the sport returning by having something like this. Look, when it comes to the financial picture, It's not good. I mean, like, let's be honest. They're trying to put a tourniquet on a revenue bleed right now, and then they're hoping that next season they can start it late enough. We've heard, you know, November, December for next season, where fans can come back to the arena. They can start charging for tickets. They can start making money at the gate, which is where this league makes most of its money. And hopefully they've done enough in this restart of the 2019-20 season where they're not going to have to owe sponsors and broadcast partners and everybody else a bunch of credits to the money owed to them next season. So this whole return to play is not the turn a profit. They're not. They're going to be playing in a couple of empty arenas, and this is a sport that you know, relies on ticket revenue, especially in the playoffs. So this is all about trying to make sure that they don't devastate themselves financially by having to cancel the totality of the season, and then hoping that they can bring some momentum into next year when they might be able to get fans back in the building.
Greg, what's the matchup that you're looking forward to most in this 2014 playoff format?
There's a lot of good ones, man. Like, I was looking through the thing. One that really struck me, only because I've followed one of these teams all season because I was the only guy who picked them to make the playoffs. And then this other team has been real good late in the season, was Vancouver, Minnesota. That's a fascinating matchup, man. Like, the Canucks are a really good, young, exciting team. And Minnesota was arguably playing the best hockey in the league under Dean Evason when we hit the pause. So that's one matchup that's got a lot of interest from me. But you look at the Eastern Conference right now, and you look at the teams that have sort of snuck in under the wire under this format. Montreal could make trouble for Pittsburgh. The Rangers, my God, like, you want to face Artemi Panarin in the first round of the playoffs if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, knowing that the goaltending situation for the Rangers has certainly changed pretty dramatically since, like, January. There's a lot of very interesting matchups there. And then, obviously, for the Leafs, you're looking at a scenario in which they play a really tough Columbus team in the first round, then depending on what happens in the round robin, they may get to see their old friends, the Bruins, in the second round. So, look, it's awesome. I mean, I'm not a huge backer of a 24-team tournament. I think it kind of devalues the regular season in a way that makes it feel very uncomfortable. But there's no denying that when we start breaking down some of these matchups and seeing what could possibly happen, that it's going to be a really, really fun time.
Greg Wyshynski is a senior NHL writer at ESPN, co-host of the Puck Soup podcast. Wish, always great stuff. Thanks for this.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for having me.